In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the occasion of the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is an opportunity to remind ourselves that our Lord's heart is the abyss of all virtues. In a particular way, we can readily see the resemblance between his Sacred Heart and those virtues which the great mass of men has the most difficulty practicing. And what, you may ask, is the most difficult virtue to acquire? Let's first note that we should not think of it as a contest, and that it is true that no two individuals are exactly alike. The experience of the acquisition or of the loss of virtue will never be quite the same from one person to the next. That being said, I do not think it is an exaggeration to say that the overwhelming majority of saints and spiritual writers would probably reach a certain consensus. For we who are so blinded by our pride at every turn, it is indeed holy humility which tends to elude us more than any other virtue. I would like to spend, therefore, a few minutes with you today, considering this all-important virtue of humility, this little virtue, so-called, presupposed by all the others, and without which our Lord Jesus Christ tells us we will not enter heaven. It is a virtue which is now so underappreciated, it's so profoundly misunderstood. In truth, it is perhaps the majority of those both inside and outside the church who consider this virtue mainly as an invitation to self-abasement, to putting ourselves down before others. But this is not humility. Moreover, speaking of oneself in negative terms very often conceals a hidden pride. True humility, in the estimation of the saints, particularly St. Francis de Sales, is judging things, including ourselves, as they really are, as they honestly seem to us. If there is good in us, even excellence, humility would not have us hide it or deny it. Don't forget that our Lord has told us, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but upon a candlestick, that it may shine to all that are in the house. However, the humble man, all the while realizing that he may have skills and talents and knowledge not shared by all the others, he realizes that he can only give thanks to God for all these good things, not to himself. Everything he has, he knows that he has it only because of God. He has received it from God. What about the other side of humility? What about the common idea of it as a virtue which would have us foster a low opinion of ourselves in our own mind and that of our neighbor? It's not that there's no truth to that. After all, the word humility comes from the Latin humus, meaning soil, earth, the ground. There is a truth here which we shouldn't neglect. Most of us would, in fact, do well to be more ready to accept corrections and criticisms freely and without bitterness, without self-love, without giving in to discouragement, if rather we would only have the will to amend our lives, confident that God will give us the grace necessary to do it, confident that he helps those who make the effort to correspond to his grace. We would see that the corrections and the criticisms we receive in this life are truly precious moments. They are moments when the light is shined on our misery and we are given a way out of that misery, a way to profit from our faults. All of us know the pain that criticism, that correction brings with it. Many of us receive it fairly often from many sides, from parents or from children, from our siblings, from bosses, those we work with, Unfortunately, our usual reaction is to let our emotions get the better of us. But the hard but perhaps just assessment of our behavior is given, and our pride infallibly swells up. And despite having prayed for humility, perhaps thousands of times leading up to that moment, the hurt caused by our neighbor's words tears a hole in the heart. Next, we become defensive, and before we know it, we're speaking up, giving a multitude of excuses and reasons, being sure to add that, oh, and ordinarily, we would never do this, but you see, such and such a circumstance made it unavoidable. We're ready to lay blame in plenty of places, except where it most likely belongs, squarely on our shoulders. What is difficult but necessary to accept is that the criticisms we receive from others are oftentimes largely true. According to Father Jean Croiset, the author of the excellent book, Devotion to the Sacred Heart, the humility conformed to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is that which causes us to consider, as dear friends and dear benefactors of our souls, those who scorn us, and to never seek to avoid the possibility of being humiliated, to not take pleasure in vain thoughts about ourselves, to never speak in such a way as to make ourselves appear better, and to never complain. Humility, moreover, prevents us from worrying about our defects and the failures we might experience because of them. Humility brings us to easily excuse the faults of our neighbor. It has us esteem as being of little value the works which we accomplish. And finally, this virtue would bring us to our knees in prayer much more frequently, conscious of our need for God's grace at all times. And humility helps us to muster the strength to ask for what we need. In truly extraordinary cases, if the one asking perseveres over a long period of time, we even see the good Lord reward such humility with gifts we would never have thought possible in our lifetime. It is in such moments that we receive a little foretaste of the treasures of love contained in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He is ready, and even desirous, of doing great things for us, but too often we do not persevere in asking him for all these good things. On this external solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, therefore, let us implore with a particular ardor this beautiful little virtue of humility, this virtue which our Lord himself showed such a great preference for above the others, and that which causes us to resemble the greatest of the saints, our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. Remember whom Jesus tells us to imitate, the small child whom he took upon his knee before the apostles. It is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven is promised. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.